Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, it's a busy church. There's a lot of things to do because there's a big world out there that's lost and on its way to hell. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen so that you might look down at your children and say, boy, I sure am pleased at that place. Sure am pleased of our kids. And thank you for being our Father. Now, please, again, fill our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated.
This morning, I want to talk to you about a truth that means a lot to me. I have learned a lot of truths from the Bible that changed my life, but there are some who revolutionized my life. This is a truth that turned me inside out and took me to a new level in my own personal Christianity. If you seek that type of walk with God, I invite you today to examine, hopefully obey, a truth that can take you to a new level. To you who are pleased with your own standing with God, your Christianity is adequate for you, I challenge you especially to listen. To those of you that feel like you've pretty well earned your master's degree in Christianity, you pretty well know it all, everything is repetitive of what you've heard all your life, I challenge you to listen in and see the depth of the Word of God today and see that there is far more to learn, far more to accomplish, and none of us are anywhere near finished changing to be like the Master. Here in this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 17, you'll see that there is a hired man and he has a boss. Hired man's been in the field. It's time for him to come in. And the hired man and the boss, there's almost a conversation going on here, or someone is describing to us the occurrences of the day. Now let me ask you a question. If you had a hired hand and it was their job to plow the field, feed the cattle, when they had done that job, they were to come in the house, would you say to them, listen, you sit down there and I'll fix your supper for you? Or would you expect that they would finish taking care of you? Now, the Bible says this in Luke 17:7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? You see, that servant, he had done what he was asked to do in the field and feeding the cattle. But after he finished that up, he came into the house. Would you say to him, now let me serve you? Or would you say to him, wait a minute, that your job's not finished yet. You may have done some of what you were supposed to do, yet there is more. With him being your servant, it really wouldn't work for you to start serving him. He has duties yet to do. The Bible says in verse 8 then, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. You see, you as the boss would say, wait a minute, I'm not going to serve you. You may have done some of the work you're supposed to do, but we're not finished yet. There's a little more for you to do. I'm not going to serve you the meal. What you need to do is you need to prepare my food now, and you need to put on your servant's clothes, and you need to serve me until I have eaten all I want, until I have drank all that I want. Then you take care of yourself. That's exactly what this story is all about. The servant came in, and he was not served. He was to continue serving until the master's needs and desires had been met. You see, the boss is not to cater to his butler. The boss is not to cater to the maid. Then, in verse number 9, it says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Now, listen to this. Now that the servant has done what he was commanded to do, now that that servant has done his job, now that he's done what would be required of any servant, now that he's done what was expected of him in the first place, does the boss have to go to him and thank him for doing what he was commanded to do? Now, I know that we're polite. I know that we say please and thank you. But if it was a servant's job, he was to do what he was commanded to do, whether he was thanked for doing it or not. That was his job. Now, the answer is, listen, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Those words there, I trow not. Trow's definition means, he's saying, I strongly think not. Now, meaning anyone with a strong spiritual mind would not think that way. Listen, if you're so caught up in the anemic character of our day and age that every time you do something right at work, your boss has to come pat you on the head and give you an attaboy to keep you going, you need to grow up and do your duty. The boss just can't constantly be giving you, you know, candy canes to keep you going. You're supposed to do your job. And here, the question is asked, when the servant comes in, does the boss serve the servant? No. The servant serves the boss, and when it's all taken care of, he doesn't even have to turn to that servant and say, thank you. He had done what he was commanded to do. Now, stay with me. Luke 17:10 says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, that where it says, so likewise ye, what's happening here? Now, we've taken a hypothetical situation the Bible was describing, and now God is bringing it down to where you and I live. Likewise ye, that's likewise Jeff Owens, and likewise Rusty Ewan, and likewise Craig Bush, and likewise you. He's saying, now, let's apply this to you. Let's go from a story to reality. Let's leave the hypothetical, and let's get down to real life situation. God is the boss. We are the servants. When we, the servants, have done all that God, the boss, commands us to do, you know what it says? We are unprofitable servants. Now, remember something. I didn't write this book. I just preach it. Did you get that? That verse says, and likewise ye, when ye shall have done all the things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Isn't that interesting? In other words, after obeying what he commanded, we have done the bare minimum that is expected of a servant. We, in a sense, have merely broken even on our productivity spiritually. The title of the sermon is Unprofitable Servants. Are you an unprofitable servant for God? You see, it is God's hope that we have hearts that are willing to go beyond our duty for Him. Listen to the verse again. So likewise ye, that's you and me, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know, you seemed a little more excited when I said, look, the boss shouldn't have to be giving you candy canes every time you turn around to keep you going. Now, when we talked about that in the physical sense, boy, amen, that's spiritually true, too, of us, the servants, and the boss, God. I hired someone once to wash my car. All I wanted to do was wash the outside of my car. They took my car. They were gone for a while. I was at work in my office. They came back, and let me tell you something. They had washed the outside of my car. That was the agreement. They had swept the inside of my car. They had put an air freshener in there. I guess I smelled bad. But they put an air freshener in there. They actually had my oil changed. You know something? The contractual agreement between me and them was the washing of the outside of my car. I asked them, I said, why in the world did you do all that extra? The answer was, Brother Owens, I love you. I just didn't want to do what was expected of me. I thought these things would be beyond, and you would be extra pleased. I didn't want to just give what I had to. I wanted to give all I could to please you. Wow. Are you that way with God? Listen to the verse again. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Now let me explain this thing to you if I can. Let's start out. Let me give you an explanation of unprofitable. Unprofitable. If you were buying a piece of property, and you had the choice between two pieces of property. Property number one. You're not going to make any money on it. It's always going to be worth what you put into it. You bought you an acre of land, let's say. That acre cost you $25,000. You're never going to make any more than $25,000 off of it. It has no chance of growing in its value. But wait, property number two that you can buy. Here's an acre of land, and its value is going to increase. That property value will excel what you put into it. You're going to pay $25,000 for it, and maybe in a year it will increase to being worth $30,000, and maybe another year $35,000. You understand that you've got two pieces of property there. Answer this question. Which one would you want to buy? The one where there is no increase, or the one where you're going to get increase? Which one would please you most? Which one would be of most value to you? You see, the first one, you did not profit anything from it. It's unprofitable. The second one exceeded your investment and therefore has become profitable. Unprofitable. What does it mean? If you were choosing to invest in some type of metal, which one would you choose? Metal number one, you can buy some iron. Man, it's not going to make you any money. It's not going to have an increase in value. Or metal number two, gold, which is proven to rise above your purchase price, and it will become profitable to you. Which one would please you most? Which one would you want to invest in most? You see, if the value does not go above your investment, then it is unprofitable to you. When God's talking about our being unprofitable, He's talking about our going beyond what is commanded of us. Listen, if you were a hamburger salesman, and you work down at McDonald's, and it's your job to sell hamburgers, and it took 100 hamburgers a week to pay your salary. And all you sold was $100 or 100 hamburgers that week. Have you made any profit for McDonald's? No. If it takes 100 sales to pay you, and you only sell 100 hamburgers, then you're unprofitable to McDonald's. You know something? If it takes 100 hamburger sales to pay you, and you only sell 99, you have gone backwards. You were not even valuable enough to support yourself. You are a dangerous investment for McDonald's. Unprofitable. You see, unprofitable does not just mean you're losing. Unprofitable could mean you're only doing what you have to do, but you're not getting ahead. Are you all with me out there? Have I lost you in the depth of the McDonald's sales part? Or have I just made you hungry? The Lord said this. He said, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Now, what does it mean to be unprofitable? Well, you have to go beyond the base amount. Again, if you are not increasing, then there's something missing. There needs to be that increase. Now, let's talk about profitable. Maybe it'll help us if we could understand the term profitable. If you decide to invest in some stock in the stock market, and you had two choices, what we'd call a stock that does not make you any money. It would be a non-profit producing stock. One time, I bought, we had old $600 or $700 about 15 years ago, and I bought some stock in Walgreens. I just knew I was going to be a multimillionaire. I bought it for $9 a share. It was worth $9 a share when I bought it in January. It was worth $9 a share in February. It was worth $9 in March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December and January and February and March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December and January and February and March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December and January. January, 3 years later, it was worth $9. Now, did I make any profit? No. Now, if I went out and I bought some stock in Walmart, I could think that I would make some money due to Mrs. Owens's single-handedly economy-boosting financial contributions to the corporation. I may make some money. At least I could have a little return of what's going out into that particular store. But when I bought Walgreens, it stayed the same. It never increased. If some of you had bought into the stock of Walmart many years ago, your stock would have increased. It would have been profitable to you. Did you know something? God deserves profit out of our lives. He wants us to be profitable to Him. If you were hiring an employee, you would want one that would make you profit. We have a lot of businessmen in here. They hire people to work for them. They don't want to hire someone that just pays their salary. They want to hire someone that earns their salary back and then excels or exceeds it to make profit for the boss. Does that make sense to you? You know, at the end of the day, if all you have earned your boss is enough to pay you, why doesn't he go get somebody that will make enough to pay themselves and make some profit? If you were an ice cream cone salesperson down at Dairy Queen, and it took the sale of 100 ice cream cones to pay your salary, and you sold 101 ice cream cones, your boss would say, good job! I have now made profit of $1.39. Because if it took 100 ice cream cone sales to pay your overhead, one extra ice cream cone sold, 101, suddenly we are in the realm of profit. You have become profitable. Unprofitable, that means there's no increase. Profitable, there has been some type of increase. Listen to the verse again. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Now, listen to me, and let me go to step number 3. I've given you a little explanation about what it means to be unprofitable and profitable. But let's take another step here. God has chosen what he considers profitable and unprofitable in regard to our service to him. God chooses that. You know, he's God. Whatever he chooses to do is right. If you're so smart, you want to debate the Bible, you're not real smart. God chooses to do what he wants to do. God has chosen what he considers profitable and what he considers unprofitable. Whatever he chooses to do is good. Whatever he chooses to do is just. Whatever he chooses to do, it is his choice. Let's not forget, he is God. He is the standard for profit. He decides what is profitable, and he's right. He decides what is unprofitable, and he's right. He is always right. Romans 3:4 says, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. God's always true. If it boils down to God or man being a liar, it's going to be God's true and man's a liar. God sets the standard for what he considers spiritual profitability or unprofitability. Luke 17:10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants. God says, listen to this, when you have done all you are commanded to do, you're unprofitable. So I don't like that. He's the one that wrote the book. There's no mistake here. There's no contradiction here. God is choosing the standard of what is profit for him and what is unprofitable. By doing only what he commands, we, in his eyes, have not earned a profit for him in the heavenly economy. By doing only what he commands, we have just broken even for God. You know, God deserves the right to get ahead in your life.
Good.
You see, once again, profit is when you go above the upkeep. Unprofitable is when there's no increase. And God himself said, when all you do is what I command you to do, you have not entered the realm of being profitable for me. Now listen to this. There are three standings that a born-again Christian could have concerning spiritual profitableness. First of all, being unprofitable, as we've already described. Obedience, but your obedience, that's it. You're only going to obey to a certain level. Not going beyond his command in an effort to please him. We only do what we must. We'll change our lives no more than what we feel like he just makes us change. He must command it and almost drive it down our throat to get us to change. He calls that unprofitable. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to. He says, yes, you are, but we're only breaking even in your life. You don't have the right attitude about it. You don't have the right spirit about it. So there is standing number one, being unprofitable. There is standing number two, being profitable. What is that? That's obedience plus. That's duty plus. I will do what I am commanded to do plus. I will do what is my duty to do plus. I am willing to go the extra mile for God. I want to put an uncommanded air freshener in God's car because I love him. There are three categories in which we fit as born-again Christians. Unprofitable, that's doing what you're told to do. Profitable, that is doing what you're told to do, plus, because you love him so much, you want to please him beyond what he demands of you. And then number three, profit destroyers. The profit destroyers. That's disobedience. That's not only not obeying, that is going against what he said. That's not even doing the bare minimum, which is your duty. That's not even obeying his commands. We won't even do what we're told to do in the scripture. We're going against those commands. So get this right. There are three categories that we could fit into. We could be unprofitable. What is that? Breaking even, only doing what we're told to do. Then there is the profitable. That is someone that does what they're told to do, and then they go beyond it because of the depth of their love. And then there are the profit destroyers. They are not even doing what is their duty to do, what they're commanded to do. They are going against the things of God. Now, I want to recommend something to you today. Don't be a profit destroyer. What is this? That's the disobedient part. Your disobedience as a Christian, it can destroy the profitability of the church and the cause of Christ. We're to be ambassadors. If you're a born-again Christian, you represent the God of the universe, and he's holy. If you're a born-again Christian, if you're a member of this church, you represent the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Whether we like it or not, somebody out there will determine what they think of us in here based on how you live out there. Now, whatever you do, don't you destroy the profitability of the church. Your disobedience as a Christian can hurt God's work. Your disobedience as a Christian can hurt God's church. It can hurt the testimony of so many people. Your disobedience destroys the profit that is being produced by other people. Well, on top of that, you're hurting yourself. Others give the church a good name. But let me ask you a question. Do you hurt the good name that others have given the church? Are you disobedient and therefore you're hurting the name that others have given? You see, somebody had to earn some profit for you to be able to destroy it. You know, I had somebody tell me this. They said, and these are decent people, they said, I would come to your church if so-and-so wasn't there. I'm like, I don't want to hear this. I know what they're like. I'm going to guess there's a little profit destroying going on there. You know, employees can be like this. You know, you can hire an employee and constantly be losing money on them. Constantly. Some of you know what I mean. You hire someone, they're constantly, you run machines, they're always wrecking the machines. They never do enough work. They don't even pay their own way. There are other employees that are making the company profit, and a portion of that profit is being eaten up by someone that is destroying the profit of the company. Do you know churches are like that? You know, there are those people that do their duty, and then they go beyond their duty, and they give the church a good name, and they give God a good name, and they give the work a good name, and then there are yet those others, they're out destroying it by crashing their testimony, destroying the machinery of the testimony of the church. Now listen, somebody that is a profit destroyer, they're not profitable. They're not even unprofitable. Because remember, unprofitable means you're doing what you're commanded to do. They're not even breaking even because they're profit destroyers. God's not getting ahead. God's falling behind because of disobedience. You remember, if God commands us to do something and we go against it, we are destroying the profit. You're in the negative. Because you're willingly practicing sin in your life where God told you to stop that, don't do that, and you go ahead and do it, you're falling behind. God's not even breaking even on his investment in your life. There's a story in the Bible about a man by the name of Philemon. Paul was in Rome, and this man named Philemon was actually, he's almost like an escaped slave, if you will. He was a servant to Philemon. This man's name was Onesimus. Paul meets a man by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus was to be, he was a servant to a man named Philemon. Now, Onesimus had stolen from his boss named Philemon. The Bible says that when Paul meets this slave, Onesimus, he finds out that Onesimus has stolen from his boss, Philemon. Now, Onesimus' slave gets saved. And Paul writes the letter of Philemon in the Bible. He writes this letter to the guy named Philemon to try to fix up the relationship between Onesimus and Philemon. He says this. He says this about Onesimus, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now is profitable to me and thee. What had happened? Onesimus, he had actually taken from the work of Philemon. He had stolen from him. Now listen, folks, we should not take from the work of God. We should not take from it. We should be increasing it. There's the Old Testament story of a man by the name of Korah. Korah became disloyal and destroyed a part of the work of God. There's the story of Ananias and Sapphira because they were liars. They destroyed a part of the work of God. We can make it so we cause the cause of the church to go backwards because of the way we handle ourselves and the way we live. I'm not going into any particular sin. I'm just saying to you, we are prophet destroyers when we go against what the Bible commands us to do. Now, that's not truly the lesson this morning. You stay with me. Secondly, I'm asking today that you at least become unprofitable. Now, prophet destroyer, they're going backwards. I mean, they are going backwards. I would like to see some of you step up from being prophet destroyers to being unprofitable. You say, what? Unprofitable? Uh-huh. I'd like for you to do at least what God commands you to do. Do at least. That's your duty. Say, why? You're saved, aren't you? Well, God's chosen that you live according to the Bible every day of your life. That's what God commands. It is your duty as a born-again Christian to live according to the Bible. All of it. It's your duty. It's not the least you should do. No, I said that backwards. It's not the most you should do. It's the least you should do. That's your duty. If you're living according to the Bible, God doesn't owe you an attaboy and a pat on the head. That's exactly what the Scripture's telling us. When you have done what you're commanded to do, when you have done what is your duty to do, God owes you no slap on the back. You're supposed to do that. That's not the most, that's the least. You should not even consider being a prophet destroyer. That's destroying the work. Hey, what is it that God's commanded you to do that and you're not doing it? What is it you've seen in the Bible? What is it that you've heard preached and you're not doing it? We are unprofitable if we don't do what we're commanded to do. Hey, at work, do you only do what the boss commands? Well, I've seen this. I've been supervisor long enough. You can take a guy, you can say, I want you to do thus and so. You know what I've watched people do? They will do what they're commanded to do. Once they get it done, they'll stand there with their finger up their nose and just wait for you to come back. If it's hours, duh. You get back and you say, what are you doing? Oh, I did what I was commanded to do. And do you see something missing there? Do you see that God wants you to do at least what you're commanded to do? For God to just break even on his investment in your life, you need to do everything he commands you to do. He'll never break even on his investment in your salvation. But he has invested in your life, and you have a life after that salvation. Let me tell you something. God wants you to do what you're commanded to do, and if you are, don't you go get in some pious attitude about you like, I have arrived. He said, well, you've arrived to being unprofitable. Let me read the verse to you again. Let's make sure that it's actually in the Bible. You guys have that verse in your Bible? Is it in there for you? Let's see. Where is it? Here in Luke chapter 17, verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. So in other words, I could be a prophet destroyer. That means I'm not even obeying what he wants. One step up is becoming unprofitable. That means God's breaking even. I'm doing everything I'm commanded to do. Now what? Now, would you like to step up some more? This is the place where it changed my life. I thought I was a real hot rod because I did what the Bible says. Now, some of you just struggle with that. Why? I one day, Brother Bajent, I was praying, and I was saying, oh, God, help me to figure out some sins in my life. I'm trying to obey in every area. And God hit me with a 2x4. He said, you're pretty arrogant, aren't you? You think you're really something because you're doing what I command you to do. And I learned that just doing merely what he commands, that's the minimum. I'm now qualified to be unprofitable. I paid the dues to the point of actually having achieved the minimum. I want to suggest to some of you that you become profitable servants. Profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul, the Bible says, Paul said this, only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now remember, say, what is profit? It is after you've done what you're commanded to do, then you, with the right attitude, say, okay, God, I am doing everything the Bible commands. Now I want to do more. I'm not looking for a way just to walk that tightrope and say, all right, you forced me into living according to the Bible. Here I am. I've done my duty. No, you had this attitude. I have done everything I know that the Bible teaches, but I want to give God anything he wants. And if there's something beyond that, I'm here. I want to. I don't want to be unprofitable. I want to take a step up, and I want him to profit from my life. Do you honestly think you can become too spiritual for God? Some of us think we can. Hey, what is too much, in your opinion, for God? What have you decided is, that's ridiculous? Look, we're unprofitable if we do what he commands. If the Lord says, if he leans toward it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let him have it.
You show me that. Where's that in the Bible? You show it to me.
I'll show you a lot of things in the Bible. What kind of attitude do you have?
Good.
Hey, wonder if God didn't say it in the Bible, but we kind of know it's what he prefers. Do you use the Bible against him?
You're getting any more out of me than that. You look right there in black and white. I'm stepping over that line. God says, why don't you come on over here with a good attitude and just tell me you do anything I want. Or, you know what?
Is the humidity up today? Because are we all in a coma? Hey, who is God most apt to bless? The prophet destroyer, the unprofitable, or those that go beyond what they're commanded to do and go beyond their duty and actually begin to profit God. Matthew 5:41 says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him twain." Hey, let me encourage you to do something. If God has commanded you to go a mile, why doesn't he deserve that you go too? You thought that was all about human beings, didn't you? Somebody asked a mile of you. So, go twain. Oh, wonder if that's for God. I think God gives us the commands just to see if our heart is right, to see how far we would go for him. So if you think, well, I'm doing everything the Bible commands, well, you've arrived at unprofitability. Now, what do you do for God beyond what he insists that you do? Did you know God prefers some things? Think about it. Let's be reasonable for a second. Do you think God wants to have to command us to do everything? You parents, are you pleased with the fact that every time you want something from your child, you say, "You have to do that. I'm writing it down, but here it is. You have to do that." You say, "Well, they did what I commanded." Okay, for 18 years, everything they're supposed to do, you have to force them to do it, remind them to do it, shove it in their face, and they obey. Is that really how you want it as parents? You say, "No way." I wonder if God's that way. I wonder if God has to take everything and prove it to you 100 times over, so then you can finally say, "All right, I'll do what he commands." I wonder if he's looking for an attitude somewhere that says, "Lord, I just want to please you, and you want that, you've got it now, you want more?" Instead of doing the bare minimum of obedience, having an attitude that exceeds the bare minimum of obedience. I think God has some preferences, personally. I think we should give God what we would call our convictions or his convictions. I think we should give him his preferences. You know something? I support my wife. We've been married for 24 years. It is my responsibility to support my wife. But I want to do more than that. I didn't just give her a place so she didn't get rained on. I let her pick out some paint and some carpeting and... Now, it was my responsibility to give her a place so she could be out of the elements. But because I think she would prefer having a certain color carpeting and prefer to have a certain wallpaper, I wanted to have that. Christianity is not just supposed to be this dead, dry duty. I'm going to do it. I've got to do it. I think our hearts should be so willing we do anything that he wants. Here's what we do. We provide, like I'm telling you right now, in our human relationships, but it's almost as if we don't want to do that with God. You know that we give the people that we love their preferences. For instance, Mrs. Owens, she loves flowers around the house. Now, wait a minute. I provide her food. I provide her shelter. That is my duty to do. But you know something? She provides flowers, and she enjoys flowers. That's her preference. She prefers them. So I get her some. She never one time said to me, "You're going to get me some flowers." Now, if she did, I'd do what I was told. It's better than getting beat up. I provide for her because it is my duty, biblically, to provide for her. But wait a minute. Why the flowers? Because I think she'd prefer the flowers. She and I are not just going to live under this contractual agreement that says, "This is your duty, this is my duty, this is how we're going to live." No, I want to fulfill my duties willingly and then go beyond that to what she would prefer. Boy, that makes our house nice. I have a dear friend that likes Velveeta macaroni and cheese. You know the kind where you got that cheese sauce in it? And then the shells. The shell Velveeta macaroni and cheese. Do you know that friend of mine is here in this church? As pastor, I am to feed him spiritually. That's my duty. Well, it's not my duty to give him box macaroni and cheese every once in a while. But I do. Say why? Because I think he prefers it. Because I'm not looking just to do for him what is my duty to do. I'm looking to go above and beyond my duty. You say, I like that, Brother Owens. Okay. God said it is your duty to obey the Bible. He said, you're unprofitable if that's all you do. Now go above and beyond and look for my preferences. There's a young man here, and he's my buddy. And he likes Cocoa Puff cereal. Why do you like Cocoa Puff cereal? Every once in a while, I'll be in the store, and I'll grab a box of Cocoa Puff cereal. You know what? It's my duty as his pastor, and I advise him, and I give him some spiritual counsel. That's my duty. But you know, it is not my duty to get him a box of Cocoa Puff cereal. So why do you do that? Because I think he'd prefer it. I'm not going to have in all my relationships with people just what is my duty. He prefers it. I like him to have what he prefers. I want to be more than a duty-driven friend. I want to be more than a duty-driven husband or a duty-driven pastor. I want to be more than a duty-driven Christian. And I really want God to see in my heart more than duty. Is your relationship with God limited to just a duty? You feel like he's this big, bad God forcing you to obey all these commands, and you follow him, and you think it's just great that you do because, you know, you've done what he makes you do. Oh, you're so far away from where you need to be going. You should obey those commands and say, now I want to do more. My daughter, Charlotta, she likes strawberry things. I'm going to decorate her kitchen someday in strawberries. Now, you know what? It was my job and it was my duty as her daddy and as her father to provide for her a good Christian education, and I did that, and to feed her, and I did that. But you know something? I think she would prefer some strawberry things for in her kitchen someday, and so we watch for those because I would like to give her what she prefers. My daughter-in-law, Corey, she's got her kitchen done in cherry things. Now, if I had a kitchen, I would do it in Mack trucks or something like that. But my daughter-in-law, Corey, she likes cherries. And, you know, I'm always watching. I want to get her a towel with a cherry on it or a cup with a cherry on it. Why? Because that's what she prefers. My daughter has never commanded me to get her something with strawberries on it. Mrs. Owens has never commanded me to give her some flowers. That boy's never said, you better get me some Cocoa Puffs. I have an evangelist friend. He likes chocolate. Most of you do. I support him. I encourage him. I'm his friend. But let me tell you something. I send him some chocolate every once in a while. Why? Because he prefers it. You know, God is hoping that you will treat him as at least the way you treat your wife, your husband, or your kids. We all have duties and responsibilities in all of our relationships, and God is coming along and he is saying, listen, when all you do is what was your duty to do anyway, there's no profit there. It's when you go above and beyond what is your duty, that is when you become a profitable servant. To do merely what you're commanded, you're unprofitable, and if you go against what you're commanded, you're a profit destroyer. You know something? I want to be the flowers of God's life. I want to be the Velveeta macaroni and cheese of God's life. I want to be the Cocoa Puffs. They used to have a commercial, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You're saying, yeah, you're cuckoo, all right. I'd like to be the strawberries or the cherries or the chocolate bar of God's life. When you do all you're commanded to do, don't be too impressed with yourself, okay? Because according to that verse that I read to you earlier, now you qualify to be unprofitable. Say, so what's the big issue? What's this all about? Oh, that's easy. How much do you love God? It's really what it boils down to. Do you love God? No holds barred. Nothing between your soul and the Savior. How much do you love Him? How much do you want to please Him? Do you use his word against him? Listen, If you love him like you're supposed to love him, you're going to do what he commands you to do, and you're going to say, well, we break even. Now, I'm going to go up from there. You say, did you know that in the Bible, nowhere does it say you're not to poke out your mother-in-law's eyeball with an ice pick? It's not in there.
I've looked.
It's not in there. Say, but we know God prefers you not. I think you're right. I think there are a whole lot of things God prefer we do. Why don't we start looking for them? Let's stop just looking for what he demands of us. And why don't we say, God, you know, what flavor soda do you like? And God, what color is your favorite color? That's what we do with human beings. How about in your life? God, what would you prefer I do? You know what you do, though? You always lean toward your preference when it comes to spiritual things instead of his. And we should lean toward what he would prefer, not just what he would command. You might say, well, what does God expect? Well, I'll tell you this, whatever he expects, it's not unreasonable. Because he will always deserve more than you give him. The scripture, he said, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Listen, folks. When we have done what we're commanded to do, let's not get arrogant and cocky. That was the minimum. What we do from that point on determines how much profit God gets out of our life. Because if somebody comes to you and says, walk a mile with me, you're supposed to say, I'll go two. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you want to take a step up in your Christian life. Here's what you do. If you're disobeying God in some area and you're a prophet destroyer, I'd like for you to become unprofitable. At least do what he commands. If you're doing what God commands in your life, I'd like for you to step up. I would like for you to go beyond what is your duty to do and beyond what you're commanded to do and say, God, I am in a constant search for your preferences with my life. I'd like to do what you'd prefer. Try that with your music. Just think through it a little while. Are you in a constant search for going the extra mile for God? Now, maybe not. But one day, I came across that very truth. And I decided, that's what I want. I don't want to be just unprofitable. I would like to be profitable and go the extra mile. Hey, some of that would work in some of your relationships here on earth, too. Young people, don't just do what mom and dad demand or command. Why don't you look and see, what do they prefer? How would they prefer it to be handled? Hey, every one of you that work for somebody, why don't you just do what the boss says to do? Why don't you think, now what would they prefer? How could I make this better? Every husband here, if you would look not only for what your wife would require of you, but what would season that relationship, looking for her preferences. And let's all make sure that we are not profit destroyers, step up to being unprofitable, and maybe even profitable. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get born again. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He made heaven available to you. It's not by anything that you can do. It's by what he did on the cross of Calvary and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But if you're not born again, you need to get saved. You're going to waste the life that God gave you. You're living a very, very... You're destroying your life and your eternity if you're unsaved. Once you get saved.